Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport.
Hello, and thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of the Ball Bags podcast. Season 5, episode 5. What can I say? We're traipsing through things. We're picking up a speed of knots now, and now that Halloween is in the rearview window, it's Mickey Bubbles and Mariah on the horizon. So, without much further ado, allow me to introduce tonight's panel. He's a man who watches little else but the NFL and the slow, unrelenting passage of time. It's Rocky. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty well, Sasquatch. I do keep telling myself I must watch some other sport. But I just can't put aside the time. I'm a busy man.
Yeah, as I said, you got all that watching of the passage of time.
Lack of effort as well. Huh? Lack of effort on my part as well.
Yeah, that's it's a sack of shit basically is what I'm trying to allude to. I just wanted to be a bit more PC, but look, you took me there. And what would an episode of the Ball Bags be without the Chief? How are you, sir?
I'm good, Sasquatch. How are you?
Be terrible. But look, we'll save that for the show. As per usual, last weekend's Player of the Weekend. We're going to have a mix of topics to discuss and agree to disagree. I'm going to look ahead to the game on everyone's lips in this country anyway, Ireland versus New Zealand on Friday. Rocky is actually going to cover a bit of ice hockey this week. No, I'm joking, it's NFL. And the Chief is going to talk us
those Belfast
through his kind of takings from the managerial sacking and hiring that was talk of the headlines over the last fortnight or so. And then finally, look, we're going to finish with the games we feel that you should prioritise watching this weekend if you can find time in your busy schedules. But look, I digress. Player of the Week, and fully cognizant I've talked for far too long, but why don't you listen to me for a few more seconds. My Player of the Week comes from Chief, your must-see TV last week, and it was the All Blacks versus England. Good game, to be fair. All Blacks victorious in the end. Failed drop goal. And my player of the weekend was Wallace Atiti. I thought he was phenomenal. I had seen a bit of him in the Rugby Championship over the summer. I can't say I noticed just how effective he was versus fixture against England. I think he's going to be a force on Friday night, and I just think he is kind of, he's filled the role that the All Blacks have kind of been lacking since the retirement of Jerome Kano. For me, not to ruin anyone's career by comparing him to someone, but yeah, look, I think he's exceptional, so he's my player of the week. Rocky, who's yours?
I've kind of gone for a bit of a meme pick here, lads. I've gone for Bryce Young. I'll read you off his stats. Nothing too gaudy. Bear with me now. He went 16 of 26 for 171 yards. That's a 61.5% percentage completion rate. I don't think yous were are going to side with me on this fella being player of the week. But if by chance we had somebody from Louisiana on the podcast, I think they would. Bryce Young beat the Saints in an embarrassing fashion and has gotten Dennis Allen fired. Bryce Young has played and won, started and won three games. Two of those coaches are now fired. That's Arthur Smith and Dennis Allen. So this lad is the touch of death, and he's ushered in a new era in New Orleans. I think we should have a Louisiana correspondent just to back me up on this. But anyway, that's my
for
pick.
This year. Budget submissions for...
You did promise
budget
me.
Budget submissions
yeah.
for 2025.
Okay. Things are tight this year.
Chief, your player of the week and why?
My player of the week comes from Monday Night Football last night in the Premier League, just not to be confused with NFL Monday Night Football. And it's probably low-hanging fruit, but Harry Wilson for his two-goal cameo for Fulham. Come on in the 82nd minute with Fulham after being behind for a good solid hour, thanks to a pretty good goal, to be fair, for Brentford. And he scored a wonder goal himself to equalise, and then got on the end of the cross to score the winner in the 97th minute. So I think when you make substitutions, you can't do much better than that.
Exactly, and
yeah, Harry Wilson's my
maybe not historically speaking, but geographically speaking, it's a derby too, I suppose, isn't it?
West London derby last night. Yeah.
I'm gonna be fairly brash, and I'm gonna just scrub yours off because I'm a bollocks. And as for you, Rocky, just deplorable. The man has won three games in the NFL. And the Saints beat themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's Wallace Atiti. And unless I can get a better fucking reason than that, he's going to shove it up your backsides.
I'd probably agree with Wallace Atiti, in fairness. He's 22 years old. And his performances already for the All Blacks are making headlines as being named player of the match in that game on Saturday. And now he is, I'm going to say, the Ball Bags player of the week.
Yeah.
Episode 5.
Well, look, it just goes to show you, sometimes you don't need to be educated, you just need to be aggressive. Because I had a poker ball of an argument if he's actually giving it back. But look, that's how things go. That's how life goes. It's a life lesson for everyone. Be a bit more aggressive.
Just be aggressive.
Be more aggressive, less prepared. But yeah, look, we head on now to agree disagree, and I'm gonna hopefully whet the appetite for Friday evening. So Ireland versus New Zealand. I think there's a lot of different narratives going into the game. I think it's gonna be fascinating to see how it plays out, and hopefully it lives up to the billing. But I suppose given the bad blood from the book, the fallout from an Irish perspective, from another failed quarterfinal, is this game, is it more than first versus third in the world rankings as a matchup? Or is it time as a nation that we move off results like this effectively mattering? Like year one of a World Cup cycle, it is... As much as you want to win it, it is still effectively a friendly. And have we sometimes been short-sighted? You think of the focus of Sexton in the Six Nations last year, and kind of, do we focus too much too early on Six Nations? autumn internationals, summer internationals to a lesser extent, as opposed to the World Cup cycle as a whole? So it's a two-part question. First part is obviously with the bad blood, the book, quarterfinal exit, is it more than just a meeting of first versus third?
I'll just jump in here very quickly because I'll have less to contribute than you, Chief. Emotionally, as a squad, is it easy to disregard the record in the World Cup? You know, it's a recurring place they get to. So is it easy for a squad to just say, right, no, you know, back to year one of a cycle, and you put that out of your mind? Like, surely that plays on the mind of the squad. I know it's a different squad than played in the cup, but do you need to maybe, I mean, like, they need to exercise those demons before they be able to comfortably be able to move past that sort of a result or an outcome in the World Cup?
Good point. Strong warning moving forward against the use of biblical names. The question I would ask is, well, I suppose my point is more is like, when do we run the experimental squad? When do we blood young players, try and test them, and be willing to sacrifice, not willing to, but like comfortable with sacrificing a result for the big term picture? Because it just doesn't seem as a nation we do it.
Mm-hmm. I'd be very much of that point of view, that the squad that has been selected is very much a win now, win at all costs type of squad. Keane Healy, absolute massive servant over the last almost 20 years, 18 years. I think he's been involved in the, when he broke through probably to those training camps and stuff like that. The lack of depth, I suppose, nationally. But would it have been a good time to maybe bring Millen in from Leinster, or Jack Boyle, you know, someone just fresh-faced, and you know, to see how to go in the environment. Like, you don't know how anyone is going to react until they're tested, and usually what happens is we get to a World Cup, we suffer a couple of injuries either in the group stage, or, well, obviously the group stage because we haven't got past the quarter final, and then you're putting unproven lads in there. So I think there is obviously there's been a rivalry has kind of started between Ireland and New Zealand since the win in Chicago 8 years ago, and it's obviously nicer to be beating them, but at the same time we need to be looking at 3 years time in Australia. We want to be not just winning a quarter final, we want to go and win it all. And can we do that with this squad? How many of the current squad are not likely to be there come 2027 in Australia? So, like, is O'Mahony going to be there? Probably not. O'Mahony's probably finished maybe at the end of this Autumn Nations. He might not stick around for the Six Nations. Conor Murray, another guy, he could be still there just about. And, like, Keane Healy will be 40 that year. So we need to start blooding. So I think this Autumn Nation series would have been the time to blood those young guys. Like, Josh van der Fleer has a lot of minutes under his belt, both for Leinster and Ireland. He's still, like, don't get me wrong, he's still quite young, but you see Alex Kendallen's performances for the Emerging Ireland Tour in South Africa. Young guy, I think he's 23. He shows real leadership qualities. He's been selected as captain for Munster on a number of occasions. He's someone I would have liked to seen. I know he's in the extended squad, but he's someone I would have liked to seen get a chance to maybe, okay, we know what Josh can do, but he's probably a similar role type as Josh van der Fleer. So you could try him there and see how he goes. A couple of other guys like Tom Ahern kind of missed out this time, but Izichukwu from Ulster, does he get a run out? You know, there's I think actually I know the squad hasn't been announced, but I just seen a thing that Tadhg Furlong is in doubt now for Friday night. So again, do you like Finlay Beelum's probably going to step up to start? You've maybe Tom O'Toole, but do you then bring another younger, inexperienced guy in to just put them in there, put them into the test environment, see how they react?
I think, yeah, like for me, looking at the one, it's been too much because it's probably something we end up kind of harking back to actually a lot. Actually, it kind of dawned on me in the middle of the discussion. But the worst case scenario in that situation is you lose, you chalk it off because it's year one of a, like, I think we almost put the World Cup as the pinnacle of year four. We don't put it as the pinnacle of the 4-year cycle.
Yeah.
But I think worst case scenario in that instance is you learn if a bloke has it. But there's also a massive positive to it is, as you touched on Josh Van de Vleer, you get a chance to kind of add another year maybe onto the clock in terms of like just taking the mileage off a high mileage player. And you add a bit of longevity to a career of, look, what is a former World Player of the Year? Like, yeah. But look, keeping the ball oval, Rocky, chat to me.
So, kind of developing some of the discussions we had last week, we were talking about some of the most miserable franchises. And extending on to a point I just raised earlier on, we're going to just touch on the coaches, current coaches in the NFL that we think might be on the hot seat. And I think some of these names that I have here as a suggestion might be surprising, given how comfortable we thought they were at the start of the year. But I think any of these are in with a shot of being the next head coach fired. I think Brian Daboll has seriously underperformed, and you might call it a talent issue, but I think some of the play calls and some of the effort of the personnel around Daniel Jones has been pretty poor. Mike McCarthy, I think, good record, but constantly falling apart. Zach Taylor, if he doesn't have Joe Burrow to get him out of a jam, how good of a coach is he? Shane Steichen, I think his handling of this Anthony Richardson situation as well might land him in hot water. I think Doug Peterson as well, his failure maybe to develop Trev. And I think, Chief, you want to throw Eberflus into this.
Into the hat, yeah, definitely. I think the last 2 weeks have certainly put more heat on Eberflus. To be honest, I think he's probably okay. He's still like, I think they're 4-4 now, and they've had their bye week. But the Hail Mary against Washington should never have gotten thrown. They should have stopped that. And then I think, as someone who's meant to be defensively minded, they were terrible at the weekend against Arizona. It's like there was something lacking there. I don't know if it was a coaching or a player attitude thing, as you said, about some of the, like Brian Daboll, whether it's just the application of the players around him and stuff. They went from conceding 21 points and fewer for the last 13, 14 games to 29 and not looking threatening on the ball at all. So I definitely think there's pressure on him. The earlier wins will probably see him through till after Turkey Day at least. But I don't think he is. I don't think he's the guy to take the team forward. They got the number one pick in Caleb Williams. He's looking second best to Jaden Daniels, but he's still looking better than some of the other rookie quarterbacks. He's 2 weeks on the bounce now. He's not been great after the bye week for them.
What about you, Sasquatch? Any other head coaches, or you can pile on?
No, I kind of agree with everything Chief said, so I'm not going to further discuss Eva Flus. But what I...
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's Bartesian.com/cocktail.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a My Lowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.
I think is important in all these situations is ownership. And I think a man that's kind of recent form has got him off it, but I do think Sirianni is still in the hot seat. Howie and Laurie are men who are aggressive, and I see in the Eagles a championship roster, and every week regardless there is kind of boneheaded coaching decisions. You can see, in line with the improvement, maybe more of Kellen Moore influencing the offense. Obviously Vic Fangio's defense seems to be starting to hit, but it's those decisions, the fourth down decisions, some of the play calling is poor, that it reflects on Sirianni. And I think the time of this Eagle side as a championship roster is limited. It just is, with the money they've paid up and stuff like that. And I think if this year, if they don't have a deep playoff run, or if they have a repeat of the Ghouls of last season, I think it could be time for Sirianni. I throw him into the hat. If he keeps winning, the noise does go away, obviously, but I just, something doesn't sit fully right with me. Doug, I think, is the next on the hot seat. Steichen could, but then I don't know if Jim Irsay would be happy with his stance on Richardson, given it's Jim Irsay.
What do you think of that situation? Do you think he was right to bench Richardson, or should he just be, you know, riding him out? Like, he missed a great portion of last year with injury. Do you just give him
I
the
think
reps?
There's an element too of you have to year. He's like a young quarterback is not just learning to be a quarterback, he's learning to be a professional. And I think there's an element to it in that he has to learn that how he behaved probably isn't in keeping with a good professional. And maybe sitting him is not the worst thing for his development.
Well, I think some reports did come out the first week after being benched. I think it was some players or some people within that organization said that it lit a fire under him. It shouldn't have taken that. It shouldn't have taken being benched. You know, he hasn't played season. Well, there you go. That's it. Like, he needs a reminding that
he's living his dream. This isn't guaranteed. And I actually don't fully disagree. Like, I wouldn't disagree with the move. Zach Taylor, I think, is somewhat safe because the Bengals as an organization have proved historically that they are owned by a cheap ownership group. And I'm not sure. Well, I could be wrong. I'm just not sure on what his contract situation is. If it involved a buyout, I think that could almost save him. Strange thing to say, I know, but they've just proven historically they're cheap.
Sorry, finish your point.
And then I'm just going to say McCarthy, for me, probably he's gone.
Well, his contract is up at the end of the year.
Wise man said to me during the week that it seems as if Jerry Jones just loves headlines regardless of whether they're good or bad. So
I think so. Another name maybe just to touch on quickly is Antonio Pierce in Las Vegas. Like I think we've seen for years, we saw Mark Davis, the owner, kind of loved hiring the big names. He went with John Gruden and then your man from New England.
Josh McDaniels.
And then I think was kind of pressured by voices in the organization that the players loved Antonio Pierce. He got them to really kind of show up last year. That hasn't carried over to this season. And so I think Mark Davis going against his, like, he likes the big hire. I think Antonio Pierce is on that block. I think they brought in Norv Turner, offensive mastermind of decades past, to see if they can turn it around. But that might indicate that Mark Davis is expecting a quick turnaround of the offense.
Yeah, I think the Brady situation changes the dynamic slightly in the Raiders organization. He's now a minority stakeholder. Not that I know he's much say, but I think I don't know where that situation lies now because of that. I don't know. And then the last one, that just the name you brought up, and I just wanted to touch on this, is I think Brian Daboll will he'll get a bit longer than he probably deserves, because one, I think as an organization they have to realize that sacrificing Saquon to save Daniel Jones was just a boneheaded decision when he's hurdling players backwards on the weekend. And Daniel Jones threw a touchdown, the time between throwing his last, what was that stat that was going to do in the rounds, the time between his last two thrown touchdowns, the Chiefs have scored two, have recorded two Super Bowls.
I think it was 650 odd days.
There's an error, gross error of judgment there, and I don't think Daboll had huge say in it. Maybe he's guilty for making Daniel Jones look phenomenal in his first year. But yeah, I think.
Chief, if you had to just say safe or nay on each of those names.
Daboll, I think, gone. Yeah.
He's thinking.
McCarthy will just finish out his contract. Zach Taylor, nay. Steichen, nay. Doug, I think, is. Doug is there. It's, like, I know they almost had a comeback against the Eagles at the weekend, but I think he's gone. And Eberflus, massive yay. Go. that complete a hat trick of managerial changes for some of my sporting teams. It would be. Yeah.
Yeah, the Grim Reaper.
Maybe I'm the lucky charm for these layoffs.
or unlucky.
Well, it depends.
Well, look, speaking of Grim Reapers and new management, why don't you take us away, Chief?
So, kind of sticking in line with Rocky's point of coaches and stuff like that, it's but back to the round ball. Ruben Amorim has been announced as United's new permanent manager and the sixth since Alex Ferguson. What expectations should fans and the board have for the man, and what needs to change for the club to try and regain some past glories and competitiveness in the hunt for league challenge? I won't say title, but at least challenge. Bit of a two-parter there.
I think it's not going to happen overnight. I think United's, for me, the two biggest issues for United are they're probably salary heavy. They probably need to cut a fair bit of deadwood and acknowledge you're not going to make your money back. So, like, you might have to eat a bit of that contract. You might need to sell players and say, look, we'll pay 50% of the wages for the first year to try and make it more attractive. Or whatever they can do to run the books, they probably need to run through the squad and go, look, deadwood, toxic. It's a cultural thing inside. And then what I'd legitimately be doing, if I had any sway, is I'd be handwriting to Gary Neville, to Roy Keane, to Rio Ferdinand, to all these ex-United legends in punditry, and asking them that they take a year sabbatical. Because I don't think they assist with the pressure on the incumbent United manager, whoever he may be, and however talented or no talent. The best thing for United fans and for United as an organisation is zero expectation for the next 18 months.
Yeah.
And it's time he needs to bed in the system. It's, people go, it's a project. It's not. It's a complete refurbishment is what United need at this moment in time. If they want to get back to where they want to be, it's 18 months and it's trust. If this is the fella you bought up and you think he's the man for the job, it's trust and it's 18 months and it's low expectations. And it's not a bad thing missing out in Europe for a season.
Yeah,
basically a nightmare, I get it. But
I think I think the point about the pressure from ex players and stuff is huge. As on the manager, the current squad, you know, the pressure on them. They're a different generation of player. They don't, it's all about the pay packet more so. The prestige of playing for Man United doesn't appeal to some players. A lot of them don't have the work rate required, and not for United. They just don't seem to have work rate that if you put them into any other team, I don't think they have work rate. I don't know if that's because of a manager or a system.
I think it's more the United situation. But there's been crazy decisions. Like, yeah, I just think it's been made. You've given those players, a lot of those players, you put them on crazy money. I think United need to get comfortable with the concept of, United have tried to make home runs of signings consistently. They've paid over the odds and kind of got players over expectation. I think they need to get very comfortable over the next 2 to 5 years buying players that are players that they view as players for the journey, not players for the end goal. So I would have kind of said it at the time when we signed them, and was pleasantly surprised for a while, and then was reminded of what my initial thoughts were when we signed Aaron Ramsdale as Arsenal. I was like, he's a player for the journey. He's going to get us to X point, and at X point we're then going to make a move. Did I think it was David Raya? No, I didn't. Didn't see that. But look, and we're not the finished article either, by the way. Far and away from it. Had a great title challenge last season, and may have, given the news of Edu moving, missed our window. When you consider Liverpool had a prolonged window and were only able to win one Premier League. But I think project, rebuild, restructure United. I think organisationally, the view has to be, how do we get players in here who are players for the journey, not players for the end goal, and go from there? It's that thing. And then, as I said, the whole thing, I think it, not that it's the be all and end all, but I think the punditry, the news lines, the headlines about United constantly being driven, one, because of where they were, and two, being driven by the players who were there when they were there, are all overanalyzing games. I don't think it helps, and it's, they probably get more headlines than they deserve.
Oh, massively, yeah.
Incorrectly.
Like, the results obviously speak for themselves. You know, a draw against Chelsea, where they probably didn't even deserve that. on Sunday. I was sort of in and out of watching it on Sunday, and I was like, it was a hard watch. A good result given the week that was in it.
I was in and out. I missed a bit of
it. Yeah, it was a good result given what happened, as in a point, but they've scored the fewest goals along with Southampton, I think, in the Premier League. So it's like, there's obviously an issue there that, look, Van Nistelrooy, whether he continues on as a coach with Amorim, you know, is yet to be seen. He can't put the ball in the back of the net for them the way he did 20 years ago. But maybe they should try it, because the others aren't doing it on a regular basis. So, yeah, like, look, I hope he's given the time. I hope he's make the changes that he needs to make, be it, as you say, remove the rotten eggs or whatever, or rotten fruit from the basket, and clean house, get contracts down, wages down if needs be, and stuff like that. I suppose one point Keane did make after, or I think in the build up to the Chelsea game, was I hope he signed a longer contract, because he's going to need it, because they're so far away. And it's going to take a long time, and competing, like, they're technically still in four competitions. They're not anywhere near the Premier League, so they're in three competitions. They've the League Cup, the FA Cup to come after Christmas, and Europe, which they haven't won a game in Europe. So, you know, it's a big challenge. Good thing he's quite young, I suppose, coming in, and maybe that fresh set of eyes. It something definitely wasn't working with Eric Ten Hag anyway. So
yeah, I just cantankerously, I would believe a lot of the problems with Ten Hag were less Ten Hag and more situational, and that would be my fear. Not my fear, because I'm not a United fan at the end of the day, but those are my opinions if I was hired on a consultancy basis in the morning.
What say you, Rocky?
And my must-see TV is I'll go first.
Sorry, lads, I've been keeping up with the trade deadline here.
I thought you were checking the presidential election counts. Yeah.
I'll probably stay up for that, you know. Yeah, probably.
Gosh, won't be decided for a few days yet.
I wasted enough time
finish it out
for the past month or two. I better see it through.
Fair. Well, look.
Yeah, by the time people listen to this, we might either have a... It might be a normal day, or we might have an evil overlord.
Ba-dum-bum.
And I won't say who's who.
Cool. Nice. Well, I'll tell you who is an evil overlord, and that's Jerry Jones. And my must-see TV this weekend is Cowboys-Eagles, 9:25. I'm not 100% convinced. Been slammed at work, guys. I think it's on Sky Sports. It may not be. It may be Flex or something else. But you'll find it somewhere. And the worst case scenario, you'll be on Red Zone. And it's just, look, it's one of those classic, I'm very biased when I say this, but just old school rivalries. Celtics, Lakers, Eagles, Cowboys, United, Liverpool. Just those classic rivalries that transcend form and time. And that's my must-see TV this weekend. Rocky.
Yeah, it's a great selection. Probably a little less glossy, just I think Dak is definitely out and CeeDee Lamb might be out.
Want to beat them.
No, I don't care either. It's always a great matchup. But it feels like we never get those squads at full strength against each other.
True.
Anyway, mine is, you took the best game of the week, and I've gone with probably a sneaky good one. It's the Commanders at the Steelers, both division leaders. If the Commanders beat the Steelers, it'll be the best team they've beaten. I think the best team they've beaten so far has been Arizona. It just looks like a good team now, didn't when they beat them. But anyway, I think it could be a sneaky good game. It's on at 6. I think there's a danger that that's the blacked out game if you're watching on your Dazn subscription or DAZN. I keep calling it Dazn. And you'll obviously get it on Red Zone.
This one was teed up nicely by you, Sasquatch. It's the big one for Irish fans in general and Irish rugby fans in particular. It's Ireland against the All Blacks on Friday night, 8:10 kickoff. Not sure which of RTE or Virgin Media is showing it, but it will be easily found. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Mm. Rocky, will you do me a favour and will you watch it so we can have some more things in common next week?
Yeah, I'll watch it, lads.
And on that note.
And that's all from me.
That's all from me.
Thank you. And good night.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.